Please wait.
As you're waiting for the presentation, I have been lucky, and actually thanks to some people in this room, for engaging in the use of new and social media for some time now, and considered an early adapter within the public health community. And within my niche of HIV/AIDS, and we look at AIDS in the context of other health disparities, so was asked really to share what is my perspective from the road that I've gone down. And that's the perspective I'm going to share from. First, okay, AIDS.gov. It's more than a website. We're very unique. We're a program. We have three goals. We're supposed to ensure that we can provide users across America information on federal resources, programs, and policies, which is terrific. And in the HIV field, we're very lucky that over a year and a half ago, our president launched a national HIV strategy. On behalf of the White House, we blog on that issue once a week, and we maintain their pages. So that's the first thing we do, and I want to give you a perspective so you know where I'm coming from. The second thing is at the far end is we are actually paid by the taxpayers to provide our HIV community information on how to use new and emerging technologies to extend the reach of people's work. And Mindy, who's on the team, if you could just sort of stand up, she's one of our new media leads and can answer questions afterwards. Very, very smart. But the third areas in the center at AIDS.gov, our third priority area is to provide information on basic HIV facts. And so those are the three domains in which we work in. Now, what's interesting, this is, I don't know if people are familiar with Crazy Egg, but it's a wonderful tool that lets you see where most people are doing hits on your web page at a certain point in time. Crazy Egg. It's not a site, it's a software. Crazy Egg. But what's important here is that you see most of the dots, which is a heat map, show that most people are going to the center box, which is, or getting through other pages, which is basic AIDS information. And the truth is about our website, 80% of the people who come to our website do not care about federal policy, what the president has to say about it, or new media. They care because last night they did something to put someone they care about themselves at risk for HIV infection. So we don't get paid to provide that section of information, but felt we had an ethical responsibility. And I bring this out also because I always, before talking about new media, say, and I know probably most of you are really aggressively using new media tools, is that we have a responsibility to our colleagues to remind them to look at their web pages, not because if they're mobile ready, I'm not even going to push that far, just what are people doing on your web page? And because this is all about a perspective of looking to the future and what people need. And I learned this line from Aaron Edgerton, who's our last speaker, or near our last speaker, who actually taught me most things that I know about new and emerging technologies. She was formerly with the CDC Center for Social New Something. What a good student am I? Okay. Yeah, she was bright. Okay. But this has stayed with us and is core to our program because it's about people first. And I know many of you might know this, but sometimes we have to remind our colleagues that, you know, when it comes to information, people want it when they want it, how they want it, and whenever they want it. Some people might want it visually, through a photo, some might want it audio, through a video, some may want it on the written. And it's really important to know your audience. So we always return to this slide, really important to us. And in the AIDS field, for us, and we work both domestically and internationally, it's really important to know that it's a really crowded field. But there are multiple tools. You know, is Twitter the most important thing for you to be using? You know, should you be on Google+? These are really important questions, except for Superman, who just said no, right in their middle row. I like their video capacity. Anyway, but really, really important is to really understand how wide the domains are, which I know you know. But I am lucky by my position to be an advisor to three different departments at the White House, and the Secretary of Health and Human Services on HIV/AIDS. So, woo, great job. Anyway, but my perspective is what I was supposed to share today, and this is what I want you to take home with. It's not that I have really groovy slides of a wolf, but is the fact that in social media, new media, what we often see is that there are people probably like you, what we often refer to as lone wolves, who are advocates for this use. But many times in my HIV field, The board of directors of an organization doesn't know anything about new or emerging technologies, or the person isn't necessarily, they're very excited about what they're doing, making happen, but they're not, isn't that cute? Aww. But what isn't cute is they're not necessarily nurturing others and teaching others how to come into this domain, because we all, or many of us, know in this room will hear why we should be using these technologies. Because you really, okay, we need to build a pack. And I don't mean to overemphasize, and I'm very fortunate and get to go to the building often next to the White House. And the office where new media is done is on the second floor, the AIDS office on the fourth. I am really tired of taking the stairs between those two floors. As people involved or questioning or wanting to learn much more about new and emerging technologies, I'm going to tell you how we talk about it in a second, but it's really important for us to realize we have an obligation. If we're not challenging our colleagues to think differently about these tools, we may not be doing our job, and that's really important for us all to think about. And again, I know it really is about a conversation, and it really can help extend the reach of our work, and that's the first sort of message that even today we have to continue to keep pushing forward. And for my niche, when 80% of internet users look online for health information, what is hard for me is that often 60% of folks think that information is more accurate than when they're in a publicly funded clinic or when they're in front of their doctor paying with private insurance. And it's really important for us to say, well, where is our information? If we're working hard in our domain, where is our information, and can people find it? Again, one of my favorite things is that folks want to hear, as we've heard, or if you haven't heard, from someone like me. It is so important when faced with a health decision that you really need to understand that many, many people want to hear. If you're suffering from a bunion or going to have surgery for your heart, that people often want to hear what the experience was like from someone like them in the health slice. But at the same time, research shows that they still want to hear from experts. And you are here at APHA, you are public health experts, or at least you work with someone who might be. You need to really think in your niche, how are we sharing the information, and what do those who we want to reach get? And so we have stolen this from Forrester, we say it's from Forrester, but we use it all the time, and given our experience, we really are pushing for people to keep using this and keep asking these questions. And I don't want to ever be offensive that these questions and thinking about when to use new media are statements of the obvious, but at least in my niche of working with federally funded programs, working at the state and local health department on HIV programs, working with our national stakeholders, these questions are not asked. And the questions are pretty clear. It's just, who are you trying to reach? About a year ago, I had, a hissy fit in the workplace, not a very professional thing to do. I wanted a phone app. I wanted an app for AIDS.gov. Everyone else had one. I wanted one. Of course, the staff turned to me and said, well, who are we trying to reach with the app? Then they asked me, what are you trying to accomplish? I said I wanted to tell people that I had an app. And what you're trying to accomplish can be different things. So, people first. And post. Objective two, what are you trying to reach? Is it just to get people to your event? Is it trying to push a policy forward? But really important, think about what your spend, once you decide it is what your strategy should be. And then think about your technologies. I don't know if this has happened to anyone in this room. Has someone's organization said, we need to be on Twitter, and so let's just do it? No. Anyone ever play that game at a carnival called Whack-A-Mole, where a little mole comes up and you go, boom, boom, boom? I feel my job sometimes as a federal employee is Whack-A-Mole. No, you can't do that. No, you can't do that. Only because they don't ask, when I ask, what are the clients or stakeholders going to get out of this, before I even ask what their objective is or a strategy, is they can't tell me what it's happening for people first. And that is just absolutely critical for us. And it is about planning. And I want to just sort of share about planning one thing. I pointed out Mindy here in the audience, who actually, want to take a photo for Foursquare? You did one? Okay, good. All right, check into Foursquare. I'm sure I'm saying I'm doing a great job. What's really important about planning is that we send out about maybe 15, 20 tweets a week. sometimes more. And one of the things that we do is Mindy and I, Friday afternoons, have a phone call in which she actually irons out what tweets she's going to send the week before. Then we do something really daring. We actually look at who's retweeted us the week the past week. I mean, we'll develop our tweets for the following week. Look who's followed us on Twitter. And we have a criteria to say, is there someone interesting? And we spend just 30 to 35, 40 minutes together just putting our plan of action together for what we'll do in the future and where we think we've come. Because the learning that takes place helps us prevent a lot of time. Mindy had a predecessor in her job, and she used to have this great expression how that someday she could just fall into Twitter because, oh my gosh, so-and-so died, or so this happened, or this horrible policy. And we really look at how much time that week did you spend on Twitter, and what can we do to minimize the amount of time, because social media really needs to be looked at in labor hours. And one of the things that's also really important is repurposing. One of the things, we have a campaign that you can learn more about at the booth in the exhibit hall called Facing AIDS, in which we started 2 years ago just to teach people about photo sharing. But anytime we do something, we launch a campaign. We don't just launch the campaign, we have the materials. We turn those campaign materials into a blog. We turn it into one or two tweets. We put it up on Facebook. So one product becomes multiple products. Me speaking here today, this presentation is up on something called SlideShare. And if you're not familiar with SlideShare, become aware of SlideShare. We have tweeted about it, we put it on Facebook, and we're going to take these slides and put them into a blog post. One presentation for 15 minutes turned into four other products. It's really important in our experience to repurpose, because who the heck has time? And again, listening. I mentioned we follow and write about the National AIDS Strategy. On Facebook and in our blog posts, we get about maybe 5 to 6 comments a week. We send all of those comments to the key policymakers working on the strategy. It took them maybe 4 months before they opened one of my emails. It didn't matter because they eventually opened them and they started realizing that they were hearing what people were thinking. It was a slice of what people were thinking. Really important. I talked about how Mindy and I just evaluate a slice of what we do. It's really hard in public health to evaluate your impact from time to time with these tools. But if we listen and we adapt from what we hear, we really are making a difference. And I want to talk about mobile really quickly for a second. How many people have already been using their mobile device during my talk? Okay. How many people are too embarrassed to say? Okay. We have this emotional attachment to our mobile devices, but so does everyone else. But we have to understand that, remember I was worried about web pages at the beginning of my talk, that people weren't looking at webs at their own website first? Well, the biggest challenge is, you know, can your website, of course, be mobile ready? Can people read it through the various mobile devices? But also, are people coming to your mobile device different than your web page? For example, on AIDS.gov, when people are using their phone to ask us a question on AIDS.gov, they ask very specific questions like, I just had blank kind of sex, what should I do, or use that as a search. Very specific. I did my mouth went here. When they go on our webpage, it's what's the history of AIDS? So, you have to really look and understand that mobile makes things very, very different. And what's also important for us is, again, that teaching and sharing and getting to understand that soon more people in a few years will be using their mobile device than a desktop to get information. The growth is that 15 million people 2 years ago were looking for healthcare information on their mobile devices. And, of course, experiment if you're not familiar with these. But I do, that's another woof. It was hard to find a woof with a cell phone. Weren't the other woofs cute? Anyway, not as cute. Anyway, but what's really important is that mobile, understand mobile. Mobile is the future. If I'm identified, my colleagues, as one of the leading voices, we know this is true, but we have to understand, you know, context, content, and then think about the container, just like putting people first. And I love this slide, which basically says, let's understand the context. People are using their phone because they're bored, They need their Starbucks or something else locally. And in my field of HIV, usually it's not Starbucks. Or they're being social, explaining who they met at Starbucks, or they're multitasking. And also another question, because I always use this person driving, because in the field of us talking about mobile, do we have a responsibility to tell people to stop being part of the effort to get people not to text and drive and use their phone? I don't have the answer, but it seems obvious. And again, I said, you know, it's about context. And in context, what's really important in HIV, have to think, it's 30 years of AIDS this year. And looking back, again, context. Does anyone know what that center thing is? Does anyone? Come on. It's the first laptop. I mean, we really have to understand context. But mobile today, at least in my niche, it's about texting to get information. That's a program we've had for several years, to text to find a local HIV testing site. The other, New York City Health Department, very proud to find condoms for free. The other is an adult human behavior site, in which men find other men quite quickly. And usually at this conference, I looked a second ago, but it would be wrong to put it up on the slide. Two of you in this room are on. That's okay. But it's about global positioning. I wasn't lying. Anyway, but in the government, one of the things, a lot of folks have use global positioning. If you don't understand global positioning, learn more. But anyway, is that putting in your zip code or another factor to find services. And we have one that we pull from 7 different federal resources to find information, because one was on HIV services, one was on substance abuse, one was on housing. We just pulled from very little labor hours, 7 different sources to find, pull information together. And I'm going long because I'm clearly chatty, but what's important is historically the context is, you know, the communication historically used to look like that. I know you know this, but it has changed, and all of you do have an obligation, and even you, which is in your purse, anyway, is to really think about what you can do to learn more from the wonderful colleagues who are going to give more details about this, but to really become advocates, because we really need to change things. You can follow us on these tools. It's up on SlideShare. But also, don't be a lone wolf anymore, because it's really scary. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Thank you.